Hey, it's Bernie Goldbach. I'm standing underneath one of the traffic pattern areas of Dublin Airport. Although the planes are more than 3,000 feet above me, you can hear them accelerating as they climb out. And a few weeks ago, I was sitting in one of those aircraft, an American Airlines jet, C-11A, and I thought I'd share a little story because there's several seated stories that are worth recalling from this really good trip I made to the United States. A trip in which I met Avi Unuglich and reconnected with my brothers, two of my brothers, and really had really deep conversations with two of my first cousins. Anyway, from seat 11A comes a short story about watching the aircraft push back from the gate. In my bag was a ticket arranged through a Finnair scheme, so it was a reduced cost ticket through a Finnish agency. I don't know how they block booked seats, I guess, on American. And the seats were on an American Airlines jet, but the jet was in an Aer Lingus slot on the tarmac. So it's a series of shared assets. I bought the seat close to the window by paying an extra $50 for it. Half the time, that extra payment gets me a free seat next to me, but this time I was accompanied by a middle-aged lady who was listening to the entertainment system on the plane. As we pushed back and stayed in position for about 5 or 10 minutes, she looked up from her earbuds, and I told her, "I think it's going to be a while." A few minutes later, an announcement from the captain that their air traffic control clearance had to be sorted out. She looked up again from her earbuds, making me think announcements must come through the entertainment system. And I said to her, "I think we're going to be here for at least a half an hour." I said, "I doubt they have North Atlantic clearance." And that was the situation. 10 minutes later, the co-pilot said, "Yeah, they lost, Shannon, lost our North Atlantic crossing clearance." I told the lady in seat 11B, "You don't lose clearance. You don't have clearance. That's what happened." And sure enough, I'm sure this is what occurred. Finnair slot that American Airlines had probably gave the flight crew or maybe the dispatchers unexpected comfort that they also had with the slot, since it was an international slot, the North Atlantic crossing clearance, and they didn't have it. Years ago, I used to train co-pilots on how to make sure your NAT clearances were all intact. So, and you also had a backup plan in case you didn't have North Atlantic track clearance, NAT clearance. The North Atlantic tracks are just lines on a map. They're drawn there to make the best use of congested airspace, since there's no radar control across the North Atlantic. You are separated by time and airspeed, altitude, and radio calls indicating where you are and whether you want to go up or down in altitude. Radio controllers give you clearance based on where they think other aircraft are, based on where those other aircraft report their positions. So it's all very mechanical, and the only electronic connection is just you can make these occasional waypoint reports. We would cross the North Atlantic, with C-141 aircraft without talking to the controllers. Just to prove the point that you could have a mass flight of military aircraft across the North Atlantic quickly without the need for these cumbersome flight controls. They were war plan separation controls. We had advanced avionics in the plane to make sure we didn't hit another military aircraft. But from C-11B, politely told the lady sitting where I was in 11A, "Yeah, it would be a delay. 48-minute delay is what it turned out to be, because the North Atlantic track clearances weren't in the pocket of the co-pilot when he started his pre-flight checks." I'll have another story or two to add to this flow. I'm going to probably make it into a podcast of From My Seats, traveling from Ireland to the States. I'm Topco on good social networks. Have some pictures across on Flickr.com/IrishEyes if you're ever interested in looking at them. Bye for now. In late June of 2017, I was seated in a quiet carriage of an Amtrak train headed between Philadelphia in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And the train was electrified, so it came to a dead stop since debris was on the line. And as we coasted to a stop in the quiet carriage, lots of conversation kicked off because I guess when the train stops, it's no longer a quiet carriage. It's as though the rules of quiet exist only if the train's en route and moving. We were dead stop near Malvern, Pennsylvania. And that's a specific place of interest for me. It's where I would later come in contact with Avi Uniglitch, and we'd walk the Micro Center and a few other interesting places. But Malvern's close to Duffy's Cut. It's right along the track where we were seated in our quiet carriage. 57 Irish laborers died along that cut in 1832. Died of violence, maybe from cholera as well. They were building the Philadelphia and Columbia Railroad in East Whiteland, Pennsylvania. So now, at this point in time, researchers believe they've done all the soil tests. They've done electromagnetic, it's a radar pulse, so they can actually see the remains below and next to the rail lines. They're not going to be able to unearth all of those 57 dead, but there is a story behind them. They were Irish immigrants from Donegal, from Derry, from Tyrone. They sailed to the United States in 1832. They ended up working on the rail line right away. And within a few months of them arriving in the summer of 1832, all of them were dead. So the ground-penetrating radar shows a few anomalies with the remains, which is causing concern. It's actually documenting what's happened. William Watson, he's a university historian who's got he's leading a project into the files of his grandfather's archives. His grandfather looked in 1909 into the case of those Irish laborers, and he found that something unusual. There was a 100% casualty rate among all the Irish workers. So various nationalities worked on that rail line, but it was as though the Irish laborers were exterminated, which is really unusual. I mean, if you have a cholera outbreak, you quarantine people, and the disease will jump from nationality to nationality. It won't just stay with the Irish. So what they discovered through forensic examination is that all of those laborers died violently. And they're next to the tracks where I was sitting in this quiet carriage of Amtrak. Some of the laborers had blows with sharp implements. One man had a bullet fired over the top of his skull after receiving an ox blow to the side of his head. All the remains are brutalized. Every single one of the Irish killed along that rail line near Malvern, Pennsylvania, were murdered by the East Whiteland Horse Company. It's a local vigilante group. Pennsylvania Railroad hired them. The Pennsylvania Railroad went bankrupt in 1970, and now the files are starting to get opened up, and it's the research is interesting. It's tied to several newspaper reports from of the incident, saying how a group of immigrants were suspected of having cholera, and they were hunted down by vigilantes who removed them from the workforce, killing them, burning their bodies. The ship reports from the time, 1830s, that the 57 immigrants, they sailed from Derry. Derry's Maritime Museum, which is going to open in spring of 2020, they're trying to get parts of the remains of pipe stems and metal objects in the burial area. But from what I see there, what I saw in the quiet carriage of Amtrak near Malvern, Pennsylvania, is lots of overgrowth. And underneath the crushed gravel, I know that there are remains of three or four dozen Irish, brutally savaged and burned, from my seat in the quiet carriage. One of my reports from my trip to the States. So I'm doing a series of thoughts based on seats. And I took off from Dublin Airport in seat 11A. I sat on an Amtrak train in a quiet carriage, basically in the middle of Duffy's Cut. And I spent three different times sitting in the Conestoga Diner at the bar, at the counter, for breakfast or lunch offerings. What I learned sitting in those seats is that American food is probably half the cost of Irish food, which surprises me, but that's the case. And I learned by sitting in those seats by the Conestoga Diner that American conversation about political issues is really as simple as red or blue hats. Lots of folks who sit in diners at the counter are men between jobs. You're there for a quick slap-up meal, and you're going off to a job site. But you carry your politics in your back pocket. So I heard conversations not unfamiliar to me from the days we'd go to the diners with my grandparents, well, my grandfather and my uncle and my dad. Hard-working men they were. They had time for a diner because it was expensed by the company as a meal out. And back then, when child labor laws didn't exist, myself and my four brothers, or sometimes three or four of the first cousins, would also be on that counter. We'd take the whole counter up, having a meal on the company's expense. And the political philosophies then are really close to the way they are now. If you can work, you get the benefits. If you don't, you're on your own. It's real simple. Red hat or blue hat. And my experience at the Conestoga Diner is there's more red hat, make America great again, philosophies than blue hat, left-leaning liberals. I was cut from the cloth of the red hat people, but I'll tell you what, living in Europe for more than 30 years definitely changes your perspective on what a safety net is and whether you should help fund it. But because it isn't funded by a higher tax rate, food's half the cost of what it is in Ireland, and fuel's much less costly, and holidays are less expensive as well. You get what you pay for. And if you have a red hat, well, you've made the choice to pay for less when it comes for services to others. Such are my thoughts around the counter. The Conestoga Diner in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Hey, I was sharing some stuff earlier about the railway line in Pennsylvania. It's the same kind of tragic thing in Utah. I know Greg Dixon called in and noted what I said about Malvern, about Duffy's Gap, but amazing stories written about Chinese laborers in Utah as well. I've got to pull that story up someday too. But here's Greg about Duffy's Gap.
Bernie. Yeah, the building of the railway was a brutal. It really seems to have been a brutal. There was a big price paid. It was brutal. It was hard work, and yeah, there's so much illness and disease and. It was literally the wild, wild west. It was the taming of the wild, wild west. That's really quite a gruesome description. Appreciate you sharing that. The human cost of a lot of the things we enjoy today is often forgotten.